Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are continuing to examine the life of Barnabas, one of the most significant Christian leaders in the life of the Apostle Paul. In fact, the one who introduced him into the mainstream of the Christian ministry, though Paul had been active in serving the Lord before he ever met Barnabas. But nevertheless, Barnabas brought him out of obscurity and put him into active ministry. And the reason we're doing this is because in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Colossians, we come to the name of Barnabas in verse 10 of chapter 4. You recall that here Paul is mentioning a number of people who were influential in his ministry, particularly in helping him with the work of the Lord while Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And when he gets to the name of Mark, John Mark, he identifies him as a relative of Barnabas. And that takes us all the way back to the beginning with Barnabas and how it was that Paul and Barnabas came together and how it was that Barnabas and John Mark came together and how it was, therefore, that Paul and John Mark came together. It all ties together, and it causes us to think about this man Barnabas and some of the traits of leadership that made him so effective in his work for the Lord. So that's where we are studying at the moment. On this Wednesday, July 19, I trust you'll join us for the remainder of the Beacon Broadcast, and I am grateful for those who help us with the financial costs. Well, thus far, we have seen two things about Barnabas. Number one, he was a giver. And number two, he was an advocate. He was a generous giver. He was one of those, among several, in the Jerusalem church that sold a piece of real estate and gave the entire proceeds to the church. That's generosity. He didn't give a tithe. He didn't give a double tithe. He gave it all. I'm reminded of R.G. Letourneau. Some of you will know about him and his story. And he was greatly blessed of God. But the thing that I remember most about him is that he decided at some point in his Christian life that he was going to turn things around. He was going to give God 90% and live on 10%. And that's what he did. And he became a fabulously successful engineer and manufacturer, inventor of machinery, and a fabulously wealthy man. And his 10% that he lived on was a whole lot more than my 100% would ever be. But nevertheless, can you imagine that? Somebody giving 90% to the Lord and living on 10%. That would be a generous giver. And Barnabas was a generous giver. It's not exactly identical because we're not suggesting that he gave everything to the Lord of all of his income, but he sold a piece of property and gave the whole thing to the church. You'll find about that in Acts chapter 4. But beyond being a giver, he was an advocate. And we actually saw in the broadcast yesterday how that in Acts chapter 9, we have a record of Barnabas coming to the side of Saul of Tarsus and persuading the church at Jerusalem that Saul had truly been converted and that he ought to be received into the membership of the church. And without the advocacy of Barnabas, Saul would have been rejected for church membership. Imagine that. Someone, I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. before his name is Paul and before he's widely known, but he has already been saved on the Damascus Road and has served the Lord for a significant period of time, I guess about 3 years, in and around the environs of Damascus. And now, having been chased away from Damascus because of persecution, because the Jews were intent on killing him, he makes his way to Jerusalem, and the church refuses to receive him. They refuse to receive the apostle Paul. Imagine that. And there's not one word of rebuke for the church about that. Not one. They had not only every right to control the membership of their church, but they have every responsibility to reject someone if they had questions about the credibility of their profession of faith, which they did in the case of Saul, because of his prior activity as a persecutor of the church. So Saul needed somebody who knew about his conversion and could vouch for it. It wasn't simply enough for Saul to say so. Isn't that interesting? We sure don't do things like that in our day, do we? It wasn't simply enough for Saul to say so. There needed to be some corresponding, or should I say, some corroborating testimony. There needed to be somebody who could say, I know this man, I can vouch for him. He is a genuine Christian. He is a genuine servant of the Lord. He should be received into the church. And Barnabas was that man. He was an advocate for Saul in Jerusalem when the church was unwilling to receive him. And Barnabas interceded successfully on his behalf. But as we also know, he was an advocate for John Mark in Antioch. And that takes us to Acts chapter 15, after the first missionary journey that John Mark had bailed out on. And Paul and Barnabas had come back home to report to Antioch and to Jerusalem. And now they're getting ready to go out the second time on a missionary journey. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul refuses. But what I want you to see here is that this characteristic of Barnabas being an advocate for others comes to the fore once again. We read in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. The advocate, Barnabas. Paul was unwilling to take Mark on his second missionary journey. Barnabas was determined to take him, and Barnabas remains in this role of advocate. He's not going to let John Mark go. He's determined to help a man who needs some help. He had helped Paul when Paul needed help to be received into the church at Jerusalem, and he's showing the same characteristic with John Mark. He's determined he's going to come alongside John Mark. He's going to be his advocate. He's going to be his helper. He's going to intercede on his behalf. And he did. And he took him with him along on his second missionary journey to the island of Cyprus, and the result of that was that John Mark was restored to Christian usefulness and eventually restored to the Apostle Paul, as we find in the Colossian epistle where he's mentioned. But the Bible has much to say about God's people advocating for the weak and the defenseless and the ones who need help. It's a noble Christian virtue if used wisely, and that's exactly the kind of person that Barnabas was. But there's more. We can also identify Barnabas as a team player. This will take us back now to Acts chapter 11. And here we find that Barnabas was sent by the apostles from Jerusalem up to Antioch to check out what was going on there. Verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Why was he called Barnabas? We're told in Acts chapter 4, because he was an encourager. Barnabas means son of encouragement or son of consolation. And we see him doing that exactly here. He was sent out by the apostles in Jerusalem to investigate this report of Gentiles in great numbers coming to the Lord in Antioch. And when he came there, he found that it was true, and he encouraged them. Now, we're talking about him being a team player, and the first thing we notice is that he was a trusted team member. The apostles trusted him for this important assignment. But there's more. Verse 24. Verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. He's not only a trusted team member, but he is an effective recruiter. We might say a team builder. He's one who is skillful in assembling a team, a ministry team, to serve the Lord. It's apparent that the work was too large for him, and he recognized that. He didn't pretend that he didn't need help. Some people are like that. They'd never admit that they would need any help, but he wasn't afraid to admit that. And the church was young and new and fledgling, and no doubt there were men there that showed promise for leadership, but it was going to take some time to develop them, and he needed some experienced, gifted, tested team members right now to help him. And he remembered that Saul had gone to Tarsus from Jerusalem when he'd been driven out of Jerusalem by persecution. Driven out of Damascus by persecution, he came to Jerusalem. Driven out of Jerusalem by persecution, he went home to Tarsus, and we don't have any record of what transpired during that time. We assume he was busy evangelizing and preaching, as he seemed to do every place he went, but there's no record of it. There's no record of conversions. There's no record of a church being planted. This is a time when Saul ministered in obscurity. And Barnabas said, I need help. And he said, I think I know the man to help me. And he went to Tarsus, and he recruited the Apostle Paul for that work and showed again that he's a team player. He doesn't need to be the Lone Ranger or the top man on the totem pole. He's more interested in the overall result of the effort, and a team will accomplish it better than any other way, and he needs good members for his team, and so he goes and recruits Saul, who is probably the most capable member he could possibly have obtained. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.